Hello, and welcome to a special intermission episode. I guess you'd call this an intermission. I don't know what you'd call this. Of Throwback Reviews. I am Rob Flack O'Hara on the mic, and I am flying solo this week. The founder of Throwback Reviews, the co-founder of Throwback Network, and my regular partner in crime, Mr. Sean Johnson, is nowhere to be found. Actually, I do know where he is. He is in the process of moving. Sean just bought a new house, and so he is in the process of unhooking everything he owns, boxing it up, moving it across town. And I think he told me he's just moving a few miles away to a house that's got a little bit bigger space. He's going to have his own podcasting area, so we're both excited about that. He's probably more excited about it than I am, but there's definitely something great about having your own little man space, whether it's for podcasting or displaying things, whatever you want to do, working on computer stuff. But yeah, he's in the middle of that fun. I just moved. I moved a couple of years ago, and I do not wish it on anybody. Obviously, if you're moving to a better place, you know, a bigger house or newer house or a new location or something, then the payoff is good. But man, oh man, what a pain in the butt to put everything you own into boxes and move it. You know, I don't really, I had a couple of notes jotted down. And really, the point of this is just to let you guys know that we haven't quit. We haven't given up. We're just on a little hiatus as Sean gets his stuff moved over and set up into the new area. So I wrote down a few little things we can chat about. But you know what? Since we talked about Sean moving, I could talk about moving. I didn't write any of this out, so you have to forgive me. I have to think back here a little bit. I've lived all except for a year and a half stint. I've lived my whole life in Oklahoma, and I was born in a small house in mostly I've lived in Oklahoma City suburbs. I was born in a hospital, but when I was born, my parents lived in a small house, which I don't remember at all. And then they moved to a house in Bethany, Oklahoma, which is pretty much all the suburbs I've lived in are in the same general area in the northwest side of Oklahoma City. And I remember that house in Bethany. I lived there until the summer before I started kindergarten. And that was one of the reasons why we moved. We moved to Yukon, Oklahoma, which is known for being the home of Garth Brooks. So if you're as big of a fan of Garth Brooks as I am, a little sarcasm dripping there, then you have Yukon, Oklahoma to thank for that. Garth was a little bit older than I am. He was a class of 83, and I graduated in 91, right around the time Garth Brooks was really starting to get fame, and that was the year that they changed the street name that my high school was on. It used to be on Yukon Avenue, but they moved the mailbox and they renamed one of the main exits off the interstate to Garth Brooks Boulevard. And so there's actually a giant water tower right near my town. It's right off of I-40 if you're driving across the country. And you get near Yukon, Oklahoma, you'll see a giant water tower that says Yukon, home of Garth Brooks. And and there's an exit right there, Garth Brooks Boulevard. So that's where I went to school. But anyway, so we lived in Bethany for a few years. It was a pretty small house. I want to say it was around 1,000 square foot. And it was just my parents and myself. And then about a year before we moved, my little sister was born, and so we moved to a little bit bigger house in Yukon, Oklahoma, with about 3/4 of an acre. So we had a big yard to play in, and we lived in that house. It was right before I turned 5 years old, so it was the summer of 78, until I moved out, until I moved out and got my first apartment. So that was really the first time that I moved. That I would be responsible for moving my stuff. I found an apartment which is now considered to be a pretty bad side of town. And back then it was just a so-so bad part of town. It was $300. This would have been in 1990, maybe 92 or 93. It was $300 a month, and that was all bills paid, including electricity and basic cable. So it was a pretty good deal, you know. And I worked at I was either delivering pizza or I might have been a shift supervisor or something at that point. So I was either making minimum wage or a quarter more than minimum wage. I remember very specifically that when I moved in, they wanted a deposit of $300 and the first month's rent. So I owed them $600. And for that month, I made about $612. So I basically cashed my paycheck, gave it to my apartment complex, and I lived off of $12 for the first month, which meant since I worked at a pizza place, I ate a lot of pizza. And what else? There was a Taco Bell. There was a 24-hour Taco Bell right down the street. And my buddy and I, we would hang out after I got off from the pizza place. And I invented something called hot sauce soup. And I would go down there and I would order from Taco Bell, I would order the cup of beans, which I think back then was like 39 cents, and a glass of water. And then I would ask for a whole bunch of hot sauce packets. And so I would drink the water, and then I would take the cup of beans and empty it into the cup. And then I would put about 10 hot sauce packets in there and mix it up. And I called it hot sauce soup. It was pretty disgusting, but it was a whole meal for less than 50 cents. So, you know, we would maybe have that for a late dinner and leftover pizza for breakfast, and then hot pizza for lunch, and then pizza, you know, around 5 or 6 o'clock, and do it all over again. So good times. From that apartment, I moved my wife now, but back then it was a friend. We were kind of had dated a little bit in high school. We knew each other. We had moved, or she had moved about an hour away to go to college, and she was living in a new mobile home. And so she said, "Hey, do you want to come out here?" And I said, "You bet." What have I got now? I got pizza and hot sauce soup, you know? And so I moved out there and I started going to college out there. I moved everything I owned, in one trip inside a Ford Festiva. So if you can imagine how small a Ford Festiva is, you have an idea of how much. Now, you know, some of my stuff, like my Star Wars collection, was still at my parents' house. I mean, it was still in boxes or tubs, you know, in storage. But pretty much all my clothes, and I think I had a guitar, I had a stereo. In 94, I had probably, you know, maybe 20 or 30 CDs. Had a bunch of cassettes, though. Had a great cassette collection. I drug all that down to Weatherford. And, you know, as you get older, you accumulate more and more stuff. And I'm sure those of you that are into retro things that are around my age, I turned 41 this weekend. It's amazing to me how much stuff I have accumulated. You know, it would take me all day. You know, I'm up here recording in my podcast room, which is where my Star Wars collection is. I'm sure it would take me a full day to box up all this Star Wars stuff, you know, and to think that I was able to take everything I own and throw it in a Ford Festiva is pretty amazing, really. But anyway, enough about moving. I wish Sean the best. Hopefully he has got everything moved across town and he's unpacking stuff right now. You know, when we don't communicate on podcasts or whatever, we use an application called Voxer. Which is, it's available for iOS or Android, whatever. And you can send short little voice messages back and forth. It's almost like a CB or a walkie-talkie. So I can send Sean little voice notes and he can send them back to me. And so anyway, during this moving process, he plugged his phone into a car charger, I believe is what he said, and blew up his phone. So he just wants to destroy everything he has all at once. So his phone was broke and his computer's taken apart or whatever. So we just agreed to take a few weeks off of the show. So I talked to him a couple days ago, and now he's got a replacement phone for the time being, and he's supposed to be hooking up his computer today or tomorrow, something like that. So anyway, like I said, I don't look forward to if I ever move again. I mean, we bought a giant house. The last time we moved 2 years ago, we bought a house that we will never outgrow. And in fact, there are some ways that the house is too big. Like there, you know, spots of the house that we don't really use to its full intent, you know, potential. So I don't know. We might have one more move left in us, but man, I just feel like I gotta, before we do that, there's going to be some pretty big downsizing on my part. There's going to be some purging of crap because I don't have it in me, I don't think, to box all this stuff up one more time. I don't know. So anyway, like I mentioned, this weekend was Friday was my 41st birthday. Now, if you follow my website, RobOHara.com, if you've been following it for a while, you know about my 40th birthday. My 40th birthday was a pretty big bummer because one of my favorite uncles, I guess I'd say my favorite uncle on my dad's side, passed away, and he was a pretty young guy. He was in his early to mid 50s, and it was very surprising. He had some different health things, but this was completely out of the blue. He just woke up in the middle of the night, realized he was dying, and went to the hospital, and sure enough, he died. So we went to Chicago his funeral was on my 40th birthday, and I was actually a pallbearer. That was the first time I'd ever done that. So I will never forget where I was, what I was doing on my 40th birthday. We were burying my Uncle Joe. And so, you know, around the time I turned 30, I started having these big birthday parties. I would invite all my coworkers over, and we'd have, you know, get a keg of beer or whatever and have lots of drinks and food and all this. And we did that for a lot of years, you know, and it wasn't always the best idea to get drunk with your coworkers. There's a few awkward stories here and there. But, you know, so I kind of thought that I would put an end to that when I turned 40. And I know that, you know, your age is just a number, they say. You're only as old as you feel, and you know, you want to grow older but not old. You know, there's lots of sayings or whatever. And trust me, I'm sitting in a room completely surrounded by Star Wars toys, so I'm the last person in the world that anybody would accuse of becoming affecting my age, maybe, or outgrowing things. But I kind of thought in the back of my head, you know, I had a pretty good run in my 30s, and when I turned 40, I felt like that was going to be it. I mean, as far as the parties and the celebrating and stuff, I mean, you could still, you know, go out for a meal or something like that. But as far as inviting a bunch of people over and doing all that, I don't know, just kind of, you know, I think by the time you're 40, you've had enough good birthday parties. That was the way I felt anyway. So, and then on my 40th, I didn't really have a big birthday party, you know? So, I mean, I did, we had people come in, we went to the movies, I had a bunch of people come, and it was, and we had a good time. But of course, the funeral and all that was definitely on my mind. And so it was kind of a weird birthday year last year. So this year I felt like we kind of wrapped it up. You know, I had birthday party, had family come over and cake and ice cream and all that stuff. So I had a good weekend. And but I feel like that maybe those party years have come to an end, you know. I did go today. I took some of my, got some birthday money. That's always good, right? You get a little cash for your birthday and you could go, buy the stuff that you want, because a lot of times people won't buy you the things you want. Like, you know, people are like, you know, now what do you want for your birthday? I'm like, oh, I really want, you know, a Dragon's Lair lunchbox. And, which isn't true because I already have a Dragon's Lair lunchbox, but you know, you say these, things maybe that you collect or stuff like that, and then after a while your family starts going, you know what, here's a gift card. Go buy yourself something silly. And so I did get some cash, and I went to Vintage Stock today, which is a chain in the Midwest, and that has they specialize, I think, I would say, like in pop culture. They have lots of movies and DVDs and records and things, but they also have a huge selection of video games, everything from Atari 2600 and Odyssey 2, I saw today, all the way up to, you know, the brand new Xbox and PS4 systems. But I was back digging around in the toy area, and I saw these, there's a few different lines that are being created of vintage action figures. I don't know if you've seen these. They are, they have them in different scales, but I'm a 3 3/4 inch guy, you know, from the old Star Wars days. So, I did see that they had some 8 inch figures and some other stuff, but I was looking at the 3 3/4 inch figures, and, they had Back to the Future action figures, and they look just like or similar to the old Star Wars figures. You know, they're on a cardboard backing, and they're hanging from a peg, and then you've got the little bubble and the action figures inside there. But I saw Back to the Future. I saw Terminator figures. I saw, who else? Snake Plissken from Escape from New York. That one made me laugh. And then the ones that really I thought were cool, they were black and white cards, and they were the Twilight Zone. And anyway, the one that was up front was the creature from, and I'm not a Twilight Zone fan. I know that I know Doug McCoy and Vic Sage and the projectionist, those guys are screaming the name of the episode to me. But it's the episode where they see the creature on the wing. And so I bought that one mostly because, you know, if you've listened to my show or this show, you know that I'm not a huge fan of flying, and not that I think that there's a creature out there on the wing tearing up the airplane, but when I saw it, I just identified with that, and so I did open the figure, and right now he is hanging on the side of an X-Wing fighter wing over here, my Star Wars stuff. I thought that was funny, so I did buy that. I bought a few. I actually bought an Atari cartridge today. A little retro fun, and a couple of the 6-inch Star Wars figures that are out right now. So it was a good little shopping day for the birthday. I was thinking earlier today about some of the birthday parties I had when I was a kid, and I remember one specifically that I had where I had a bunch of friends come over and we watched the movie Popeye. And I know not everybody is a fan of that movie. I love that movie. I'm a big fan of Popeye, and I may try to get Sean to do Popeye one of these days. But I love that movie. I love the music and the songs and you know, the little sarcastic comments that Popeye is constantly making throughout the film. And, of course, you know, the soundtrack, you know, is a lot of the soundtracks done by Harry Nilsson. A lot of people just know him from, he did Everybody's Talking. He did The Lime and the Coconut, Can't Live Without You. I mean, just really, really. In fact, there is a documentary on Netflix called, it's called Who is Harry Nilsson and Why is Everybody Talking About Him? If you have Netflix streaming and, you know, I watched it. I didn't even know who Harry Nilsson was. A lot of times I'll just go through the documentaries and I watched it. It was a fantastic documentary. He had a really kind of sad life, you know, and it's one of those cyclical lives where he was kind of abandoned by his father. You know, he was raised by his mother, and he just poured the sadness into his music. And later on, as he grows up, you see the exact same thing happen. He has a son, and he writes music for him, but, you know, he is a pretty bad alcoholic, and he kind of abandons his son, and you see the same thing happening to his family that happened to him, you know, and he passed away several years ago. But it's a great documentary. Who is Harry Nilsson, and why is everybody talking about him? So if you're bored some night and you have Netflix streaming, you should check that out. But anyway, you know, that when you think of Popeye, the only thing that comes to mind to me is the performance from Robin Williams, you know, and what a tragedy that was. I guess that was just last week. I guess it's only been a week, but man, you know, I grew up. And I will say this. I know a lot of people are like, oh, we lost a legend. And I do think Robin Williams is definitely a legend. You know, legendary comic. A lot of the things he did, like comic relief, and you know, he gave a lot of people, got a lot of people started in the business. He helped out a lot of people, you know, a lot more people than he probably, you know, needed to. But, you know, a lot of his comedy, his rapid fire stuff doesn't really appeal to me. I've seen him in stand up. I mean, not in person, but I've seen him, you know, live, like on television, you know, stand up specials or whatever. And a lot of his stuff, like his rapid fire delivery or whatever, just doesn't really appeal to me, you know. But, you know, when he really connected to an audience, you know, whether it was in, of course, Popeye, you know, he's playing a character. But, you know, in movies like, well, was it Good Will Hunting and Dead Poets Society and, gosh, just brainstorming here off the top of my head. And Mrs. Doubtfire is one that I think a lot of people remember him from. And he just, you know, when he wasn't that manic 100-mile-an-hour comedy thing, he really had a way of connecting with people. I think a lot of people, of course, we don't know what's going on in celebrities' lives, what's going on behind the scenes. And apparently, you know, it's come out in the news that Robin Williams was suffering from the early stages of Parkinson's disease. And maybe, you know, he had some drug and alcohol issues, and we've known that for a long time, and that he may have had some depression issues. Obviously he did, you know. I don't know if I've talked about this with Sean. I don't know if it was on the air, but I had a very close friend of mine in grade school and middle school. My mom used to babysit kids when we were growing up. So there were a lot of kids from the school that would just come to our house after school. And there was always like four or five kids there. And one of the kids' names was Will. And we were a couple of years apart. And the way that my school system was set up was that every 2 years you change schools. So the 7th and 8th grade was a school. 9th and 10th grade was a school. And then 11th and 12th was a different school. And so after, what, 5th grade, then I never went to the same school as Will did. But, you know, we were close buddies, and we did a lot of cool stuff together. He was a fan of Star Wars. He was a fan of Star Trek. He really loved technology and stuff like that. And one day, some of the older kids got off the bus, and they basically told me that Will had committed suicide. And he was 15 years old. And, you know, that's still, it really haunts me to this day, for a lot of reasons. One is because, you know, when you're a kid, when you're younger, you know, I guess there are a few things. Number one, 15 seems like it's old. You know, 15 is not old. I don't even, I mean, when I see people now that are 25, I think of them as being kids that, you know, don't have very much life experience. Of course, you know, the closer you are to that age, and definitely, man, there are things that happen to people when they're 15 years old that feel like they're the end of the world. But, you know, there's that quote that's been floating around recently again, that suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. And, man, I just can't stress that enough, you know. I mean, when I think about my buddy Will, I think this is a guy that would have loved the internet. He would have been doing a podcast. I'm sure of it, you know. I mean, I know that he would have been collecting the things that I collect, and that we would still be friends, and he would be into retro things. He was really, like I said, into, you know, high-tech stuff at the time, just getting into personal computers, you know. I mean, this would have been the mid-80s. And, you know, it's, you just think, man, there has to be another way. I mean, you know, if you're alive, and it's easy to give advice when you're not in that that position, you know. And trust me, in no way am I qualified to, you know, as I always tell people at work, people ask me to make a decision, you know, and I always tell them, I'm like, I'm not even that good at taking care of myself. Like my wife points me in the right direction a lot, you know, and so far be it from me to act like, or to pretend that I've been in anybody else's shoes. So don't take it that way at all. But, you know, it just seems to me, and standing on the outside again, that You know, if your life is so terrible and there's nothing good left, I mean, you could move. You can, you know, if your family, if it's a family thing, you can walk away from that. If it's a job, or if it's, you know, I mean, it just seems like there's always time left in your life to start over, to turn around and set, you know, new goals and do things. I mean, I'm really just talking off the top of my head. I mean, I don't, you know, have the answer for depression. It's very easy when people are not depressed to just say, well, you know, snap out of it. Or I've seen a few things in the headlines over the last week where Gene Simmons from Kiss has made some pretty disparaging remarks, and a few other people have been pretty insensitive to people with depression. And I don't think you really know what it's like until you've been depressed. And I think all of us have been down before, but depression, you know, is something, it's different, you know. And man, all I can say about that, without turning this into the most depressing episode of Throwback Reviews ever, is if you're feeling that way, if you feel hopeless, if you feel like there's no way out, there's nothing, you know, nothing left for you, reach out to somebody. You know, I have people email me all the time, people that I have never met, people that say they've heard my voice, they've read my words, whether it's online, digitally, or they've purchased my book, but whatever it is, you know, and they'll email me, and every now and then I have somebody who, you know, will ask advice or things, and I don't, like I said, I don't presume to have the answers, you know, but maybe I could get you to someone who does, or maybe, you know, that'll make you feel better just talking about it, you know, but yeah, just if you're feeling that way, reach out, whoever it is, if it's a teacher, you know, it's hard to reach out to somebody that you feel like there could be repercussions. You know, if you go to your boss and say, you know, man, I've really felt like killing everybody in this office every day, that might not be too good for your career, you know. But if there's a counselor, or, you know, just somebody, maybe somebody from your past or whatever, reach out to that person, send them an email, call somebody out of the blue, you know. And if you see somebody that maybe shying away from, you know, somebody who's kind of stopped, maybe they're withdrawing into themselves, or they've kind of stopped showing up to functions or whatever, you know, reach out to that person and just check on them, make sure that they're okay, you know, because life is too short. I mean, it really, really is, you know. And I don't know that I've hit my midlife crisis, although I do have a little fast car now and a motorcycle and all these things that are associated with midlife crisis. So maybe I do, actually. But it's just, you know, there is a lot in this world to live for, and you can turn things around and make it good. So anyway, that is enough talk about that. You know what? One great thing that has come out from this is I was looking, you know, my kids were like, well, I heard this about Robin Williams at school. You know, kids, man. I mean, they came home. They're like, yeah, there's a guy named Robin Williams. He hung himself. I'm like, okay, do you know who that is or whatever? And my son said, oh, he was the genie in Aladdin. And my daughter was like, nope, I don't know who he is, you know. And I was trying to think of something like I could expose them to Robin Williams, and it just popped into my head that I recently got the Mork and Mindy recorded, and so I was like, I'm gonna watch this with the kids, you know. And my son, he's got the I don't know, I call it the iPhone attention span. I mean, he sits there, you know, like, hey, let's watch a movie, and then I look, and the whole time he's multitasking, you know. He's on whatever he's doing on his phone, probably stuff I don't want to know. But my daughter, man, she's 9 years old, and she really got into it, you know. And I don't know that I've watched Mork and Mindy since I was a little kid. And my daughter has been going around the house lately trying to shake my hand, saying Nanu Nanu, and dropping things and saying Shazwat. And most importantly, and this is something I completely forgot about, but in the early episodes, we've watched about the first 6 episodes this week so far. And Mork would come in and sit on his head. So he would turn around and face a couch and then put his head down on the couch. And he said that's how people from Mork or from Ork sat. And so my daughter occasionally will come into the living room and sit head first on the couch. So she's enjoying it, and I'm enjoying going back and watching those. And you could tell how, I mean, they basically took Robin Williams' performance, you know, I mean, that spastic, just frantic performance, and wrote that into a character. And what would be more believable than Robin Williams being, you know, somebody from outer space? And so anyway, it's really clicked with my daughter. So she and I are having a good time going through and watching those. So anyway, I think that I'll wrap this up here. I don't want to go too long. On Throwback Network, if you go to throwbacknetwork.net, which is the home of Throwback Reviews, and you can find my podcast, even though my podcasts have been on a little bit of a hiatus as well. You Don't Know Flack and Sprite Castle. I went to the Oklahoma Video Game Expo in Tulsa, Oklahoma, a couple of weekends ago. And so that threw off my recording for that week. And then with Sean being out, you know, I just rolled the podcast cart into the closet for the time being. But I've been watching and listening to all the other shows on Throwback Network. I'm just scrolling down here through the list of some of the new shows that have come in. Of course, Ferg's 2600 Game by Game podcast. I don't think Antic. I think Antic did one last month. We have the Coleco, ColecoVisions. Let's see who else has put stuff out. Oh, you know, we've added, if you haven't checked out throwbacknetwork.net in a while, we've added quite a few shows lately. We just added, over the last month or so, we added Lock is Lit, which was our first pinball-themed podcast. We added, where's the other, the 10 Pence Arcade, which is a arcade-themed show. It's similar to No Quarter, but they are our first show from across the pond. So if you want to get a something other than a U.S.-centric view of arcades and stuff, you should check out 10 Pence Arcade. Gosh, what else? Oh, we added Zerbinator to throwbacknetwork.net. Zerbinator Land is a series of different podcasts all done by the multi-talented Kevin Zerbe. And they range from, he has interviews with his wife where he interviews her and gets ready in the morning. Or while she's getting ready, he interviews her. He has the 80 to 89 podcast, which just released an episode last week, I think, where he is going through and doing news type stories from the 80s, or, you know, updates and things like that. It's just a bunch of really good stuff from Zerbinator. So you can check out his feed on Throwback Network. We also added a new show. We added a show about a month ago called Retro Obscura, and it's a really good show. The only problem with Retro Obscura has nothing to do with the show, but it has to do with the fact that it is hosted on Podomatic, and we have had the worst time getting our RSS feed importer to work with Podomatic. So the shows have kind of been irregularly some kind of weird accent showing up on Throwback Network. But I just tweaked some settings, and I think it's going to start working a little bit better now. But I know that the latest episode is online from Retro Obscura, so that's a great show. You should check it out. And then today, earlier, just a few hours ago, we added a new podcast dedicated to a great show from the 1980s, and it is the Greatest American Hero podcast. And if you've been listening to our show, Throwback Reviews, you know that we're looking for retro-themed shows that aren't necessarily computer or video game related. You know, a lot of people, and part of that is because the circles that I run in, you know, I've been in the in retro computing and retro gaming circles for, gosh, over 10 years now. And so, you know, a lot of these podcasts and podcasters that I know and people that are putting out shows are dedicated to retro gaming systems, whether it's, you know, consoles like Ferg's Atari 2600 or Nintendo or Genesis or whatever, you know, or arcades. You know, so we have a lot of those type shows, but I know that there's got to be other retro people out there looking at things that are retro, but not necessarily gaming related. And it seems like a lot of the people doing that are already associated with a network or something. You know, there's some great Star Wars ones out there, but all the Star Wars shows are kind of grouped together. And, you know, some different things, some different shows, and the Adventure Club podcast, they have some great podcasts over there. I think it's just ACPN. I should double check that, but they just added a Saved by the Bell podcast, which is really good. You know, so we're kind of looking for those retro shows and looking for people wanting to do retro shows that aren't necessarily, you know, related. And don't get me wrong, we love the gaming stuff, but it's just, we kind of thought it would be more balanced out, and we found all these gaming and computer shows, but we just hadn't found much outside that circle. So anyway, we're real excited to add this Greatest American Hero podcast to the show, or to the network. And so they have one episode out now, so you can go check out that debut episode, and I'm looking for good stuff from them. So anyway, while you're waiting for the next episode of Throwback Reviews to come out, you could go over to throwbacknetwork.net and see what else is available on the network. So anyway, hopefully Sean right now as we speak is plugging in his, I bet the minute he listens to this, he's going to be like, oh my gosh, look how bad O'Hara is messing up the show. I better hook up my mics right now. I bet you as he's listening to this right now, he's getting everything hooked up, and he will be joining me on the airwaves very soon. So anyway, thanks everybody for hanging out with us. We will be back on the air soon, so don't go anywhere. We're going to have a surprise for you, a surprise guest coming real soon, either on the next episode or possibly the one after that. So we're excited about that. We've got a little something secret in the pocket. Other than that, be sure and check out all those great shows on throwbacknetwork.net. Come find us on Facebook. Look up the Throwback Reviews podcast on Facebook. And other than that, we will see you soon. So thanks again, everybody, and we will be talking to you very soon.